Blog Talk Radio.
This one goes out to my little homie Brandon. Told you, I got you, my man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby. Sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. Mama. 100 mountains running. With guns in our hand. Barbarian, heavy metal, carrying rock band. Investing in stock, man. Testing the clock, grand. My peeps got a spot on the block of my block, fam. A jar in the pot, man. Gets you a knot, man. Like ching ching. Hot damn. Cooked it like hot ham. Gotta be smart, man.
Oh, yeah. It's 10:07. It's a Tuesday night. Y'all know what time it is. It's time for Sound Off Forums with your host, George Beverly Jr., doing it live and in effect. I'd like to thank everybody for listening, who've been tuning in. Just a quick admin note. I was supposed to have a special guest tonight. She wasn't able to come on, so I have to switch it up. Didn't have time to change it. So we'll be talking about the family, okay? We'll be talking about family. If you'd like to call in anytime, you can call in. If you want to tell a story, a funny story about your family, a touching story about your family, something that you want to get off your chest about your family, anything you would like to talk about, please come on. Telephone number is area code 347-989-1014. So, like we always do, we got to get these little things out of the way, all right? So, if you'd like to get a hold of me on Facebook, you can get a hold of me of george.mango9904. You can get me at Twitter at hashtag soundoff97413. You can also get me at Soundoff Forums on Facebook. You also can email me at soundoff97413@gmail.com. That's soundoff94713. Also, I'm coming with a webpage to put blogs on. I got a blog already started, and it's a little different than Sound Off Forums. It's just that blog is an informational blog that I'm just going to be throwing out all the stuff that I know. So if you'd like to follow it, I'll put it up on my Facebook page, and you can follow me there. As we always do, you can call in at area code 347-989-1014. That's area code 347-989-1014. And last but not least, Ephesians 6:6-13. Not with eye service as a man pleases, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, dark fallen angels, against powers, against powerful fallen dark angels, against rulers of darkness of this world, against rulers of fallen dark angels of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against wicked spiritual demons, fallen angels of this world. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all to stand. And let the church say amen. What a wonderful God we serve. So it's about the family tonight, y'all. It's about the family tonight. What do you think about your family? How do you really feel about your family? Is your family as a nucleus growing up had issues? Do you blame things that happen in your life on your parents? Do you blame things on your kids that's going in your life? What exactly is family? Well, Mandrill's dictionary defines family as a group of individuals living under one roof and usually under one head. The second definition would be a group of persons in a common ancestry, like a clan. And then there's a B. It says the persons are a group of the person regarding it that is derived from a common stock, which is a race. So, I mean, they go on and on and on. They go on to say, says it's a basic unit in society traditionally consisting of two parents rearing their children, any version of societal units deferring but be regarded to the equivalent of a traditional family, like a single-parent home, a spouse or a child with who who spends more time with their family. A group related to plants and animals forming a community, forming a category ranking above a the genus and below the order, and usually comparing several of the genera. Okay, and that's the animal world as we refer to. So, like I always do it, you know, I got to hit you with the Bible. Okay? And the reason why I hit you with the Bible is because that's where I get all my connection from. I can't do nothing without Jesus. Can't do nothing without God. And so as I continue to do the things I do, I say to people, hey, life is what it is because God ordained it to be. Let me explain my religional background, and then we'll, of course, like I always do, always tie it in to into that. Now, I'm going to try to get some pastors and deacons and elders on this show because everybody's got a different philosophy on it. But we all have what we call the Holy Spirit. Okay. So according to my religion, which I'm an apostolic Pentecostal, we believe that God is Jesus, and Jesus is God in the physical flesh. That's why he's called the Son of Man. And the reason why he's the Son of Man is because he came down from the heavenly realms into the earthly realm to experience what it felt to be human. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, if you read in the Old Testament when God said he will move through the village of the Hebrews and take the firstborn unless there's blood on the top of the door frame and on the sides, he will not let the destroyer take him. So when he's moving through that, he's not moving in a solid form. He is moving through the Spirit to protect those people who obeyed his command. And so the doctrine originally comes from Acts 2, after the Great Commission. So all this ties in from the Great Commission to Acts 2 when Peter really finds out who he really is as an apostle and as a preacher, when he gives his first sermon. And they talk about how all these wonderful things happen. So just read Acts 2, and then if you have any questions, you can ask me. But also in Galatians, it says that we believe in one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. And we all know that you can't have three rolled up into one. The Trinity, if you look in the Bible, there's no such thing as the Trinity. The Trinity is a man-made thing, and I don't necessarily go by what man, because we've talked about this yesterday, and I'm sorry, it wasn't Galatians, it's Ephesians 4:5, which says it's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now, if you read it for the text itself, it says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So what is one Lord? So if we're saying that God, what we believe is that God has preordained, which he's already said in Genesis, that he's preordained or predestined everything that's going to happen on the earth. He had to go to the end of the end in order to give revelations to the prophets so they know what's going to happen next. If he did not step out of the present into the future at the beginning of the time to the end of future, then he would not be the all-knowing. Now, you have to understand what one Lord, one faith, one baptism means. And it gets a little tricky for those who are Bible scholars. Do I have a PhD? I have no letters behind my name. Okay, I don't have nothing. I've got God. Okay, so if you say that Jesus is the Son of God, but Jesus is coming back to the New Jerusalem, then when's God going to show up? One faith is not a religion. It is the belief. Let me give you that definition. All right, what faith is, because I don't want people to say, oh, well, he's given his definition of what faith is. Let me give you what faith is. Okay, and it says, This is what the Bible says about faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. King James Version. Let's do NIV. It says, now faith is the being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Let's go to Luke 17:5, New International Version. It says, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can be the mulberry tree. Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. So he's asking us to have faith. Small faith. Romans 10:17 in the International Version says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Second Thessalonians 2:10, New International Version, it says, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Because why? They don't have the faith. Matthew 24:4-5. Jesus said, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in the name claiming I am Christ, and will deceive many. John 20:25-28, New International Version. When our disciples told him, Thomas, that they have seen the Lord, he declared, I will not believe it. A week later, Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe, Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they have believed. I'm going to use that tomorrow, okay? Because that is so profound. Because Thomas did not believe that until he put his hands in Jesus, and then Jesus ascended. The definition of faith is considered is confidence or truth, or trust in a person or thing or identity or a doctrine or teaching of a religion. It may be also a belief that is not based on proof. So now that they're saying that it could not be based on truth or proof, Thomas asked God to show him so he could believe. Well, I say to you, my ladies and gentlemen, that family is important. And we must believe in our family. Okay? It's important to believe in our family because regardless of what's going on, everyone has to go through something in order to come out on the other side to be effective, whatever that plan is then for God's plan. We must understand that we have gotten away from our family values. So I like to say to the people who are just coming in, if you would like to call in and tell me a story about your family, or if you would like to tell me something that you love or miss about your family, please call in and say something great about your family. Tonight is about family night. And it's important that we love our families, okay? There's some people who have been busheled in this race of the society where the dollar is everything. You don't even have time for your own, not only your mother, you don't even have time for your own kids, your own wife. We have to value and the importance of what we have right now, because when it's gone, you can't get it back. It's like spending that dollar. You can't say on one hand, oh, yeah, I want to buy this, but you're still reaching out and pulling back that dollar, but you still got the other hand and the product in your hand. It just doesn't work that way, people. Everybody's different. If you have if you have a disagreement or you have something that's bad against your brother and sister, you need to call them and apologize. Be the bigger person. Some people just want to harbor that. Let's grow up. We talk about we're adults, but we act like kids. Okay? So I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures about family. Okay? And I mean, I know there's a lot of them, but these are the ones that I'm going to say. Okay? Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother so that ye may live long in the land of the Lord your God in giving you. And that's straight out of the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land of the Lord your God is given you. Proverbs 1:8. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep your father's commands, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despites his mother. Matthew 15:4. For God said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Ephesians 6:1-2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Psalms 103:17. But from the everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love, in which whom you fear him, and this righteousness with the children's children. Okay, what does that mean, George? It means, listen, from the beginning to the end, you love the Lord. And the Lord's love that you have for him, you fear him. Because that's why you love him. Okay? But let you also remember that your children's children must be righteous to their Father that is on the earth. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Anamites, in whom land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Proverbs 11:29. He who brings his trouble on his family will inherit only win. And the fool will be servant to the wise. Proverbs 15:27. A greedy man brings trouble to his family, but he who hates bribes will live. Bribes will live. Proverbs 31:15-17. She gives up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions of her service girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. And what does that mean? That means that the woman is physically working for her family. That's why women are so devoted to their family. And I hear a lot of these guys talk about, I'm looking for a good woman. Well, first of all, you got to be a good man. How are you going to want something that and you're not right? I'm not saying that you can't get right. But I hear it all the time. I'm looking for a good woman. What exactly are men looking for? Okay? Just the other day, we were at the store, and this young man said to his mother, I thought it was a certain price. He's like, oh, you stupid fool. And he said that to your mother. Now, the scripture just told you to honor your mother and not bring dishonor to our undesirable things to your family. And respect your mama. Respect your father. Well, we need to bring those morals back, because those same people who talk about you shouldn't spank your children are getting abused, children should have a choice, we are their parents. If you do not know how to guide and lead your kids, you and your workplace is totally different. I was in the military, and I had the authoritarian type of style raising my children. And that's not always the case. You can't be always authoritarian. You got to be a little balanced. You got to give them a little autonomy and be authoritarian too. Like I said, it's always the middle of the road. But you've got to be the head of the household. You cannot be their friend, no matter how they feel. Because if you give in to their feelings, then and they get hurt, what's going to happen? You're going to feel bad for the rest of your life because they hurt somebody or they hurt somebody you know. So it's important that the family nucleus is there. And it's important that we understand what the family is. One time we was watching a wife swap, and there was this man and this woman. He got remarried, and he had a son. The son would wake up in the morning, he would fix his breakfast, he would do his chores, and then he would walk to school. While his wife and him, while his father and his stepmother slept in bed, they got up and they went to a restaurant and ate breakfast. And they went to their jobs, and after they did their jobs, then they taught their instructors at a karate shop. So the little boy would go home do his chores, do his homework, clean out the bird cage, and take care of the bird. After he was done with that, he was supposed to go to the karate dojo and help train. And so he gets back about 9 or 10, and then he starts the routine all over again. I'm not one to say that his family structure is wrong, but when the man is devoting more time to his job and to his wife and to his bird and not spending time with his child, who's a living, breathing creature, that child will repeat the pattern that he knows as he grows up. So we've got to somehow break those patterns and bring structure into our life, our household. You say, George, kids are kids, and they're going to do what they're going to do. And you're exactly right. They've got to learn for themselves. So that brings me to one of my favorite proverbs that Jesus said, and this is coming out of Luke 15, 11 through 32, the New International Version. And this one right here is called the Prodigal Son, or the Lost Son, for those who are reading the International Version. It starts off in 15:11. It says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of my estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young man's son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in a wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of that country. He spent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set off and go back to my father.' And he said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So that he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattest calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and now he's alive again. He was lost and now he is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and said to him, 'What is going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattest calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The oldest brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. And his answer to his father was, 'Look, all these years I have slaved for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered his property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattest calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. That's very profound. And the reason why it's very profound is this. He said, the older son says that I've done everything that you obeyed me to, you asked me to do, and I never disobeyed your orders. And what is that? Envy and strife. What are we working with? Are we working with the spirits of the fruits of the spirit? He was upset because he didn't even get a young goat to celebrate. But he was challenged with his father's love for all of them. He said, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead, and now he is alive. What does it mean, George? He was lost, but now he is found. You've heard that so many times. The reason why Jesus gives this parable is to give you an understanding about the spirit, okay? God doesn't like backsliders. Okay, what's a backslider? When you believe in God and all of a sudden you just give up God because either you're just too busy or he just doesn't fit in your schedule or you just stop praying and you're not diligent with the Lord. He doesn't like that. But what he's also saying is this. Because he was lost in the wilderness and he was doing, he has turned back from his ways, and God will celebrate and he will be glad that he has found his way back to the heavenly host. The angels will rejoice. Because one soul has returned back to God. Because this is a spiritual warfare. So when we think about our family nucleus, we've got to understand, we've got to inject love. And listen, this is what I say. I've had my share of all of this. But time heals all wounds. And if you love like you say you love, and you've got that agape love, the Philadelphia love, then that love of unconditionalness will never leave. It is that small window of frustration, of bitterness, anger, and all those other things that and envy that keeps you from giving that love. So why do we spend years apart, years of not talking to one another because somebody did this and somebody did that? Yeah, they did us wrong, but they did Jesus wrong. They did the apostles wrong, and they didn't do anything but spread the word of God. They spread the word of Jesus, and the apostle Paul said it the best. He said, I did not even know Jesus. But I am here to spread the good news. See, Peter was walking hand to hand, side to side, and denied Jesus three times. He walked with Jesus. Paul did not walk with Jesus. But yet and still he had faith, because what happened to him when he was on the road to Damascus, when God made him blind and gave him the ability to see? Turned his name from Saul to Paul and gave them the ability to give him the fruits of the Spirit to understand he would be a warrior for God. I would like people to call in 347-989-1014 and give me a story. I want to hear a story about love and connectiveness with your family. If you had a falling out, what did it take? What did it take for you to mend those wounds? because we wear our hearts on our sleeve. And we've already talked about, you know, James, Jesus' brother, already talked about how the tongue was and how the heart was. Sometimes we got to dig a little deep. We got to dig a little deep. And when you dig deep, you find out who you really are. The reason why I said you got to dig deep is this, people. There's many of my comrades that went to war. There's many of my peers that went to war. And when they dug deep, they needed to decide who they wanted to serve. Some people, I heard this, some people said they prayed to the devil. If the devil would get them out, they will worship him till the day that they die. Some people prayed to God, if you get me out of here, I worship you to the day that I die. And I was one of those people who prayed to God. I said, Jesus, if you get me out here alive, I will never turn my back on you ever again. Was I hurt? Did I have emotional problems? Do I messed up? Yes, but you know, those are building blocks in making you who you are. I'll tell you a story. Before I tell the story, I want to get back to the, what God was saying to your life, about your life. He said, we talk about the fountain of youth, right? He said, if you obey thy mother and thy father, then your life upon this earth will be extended. If you're looking for the fountain of youth, that's what you need to do, people. If you have a disconnect from your mother, no matter how bad she is, you tell her, you look her straight in the eyes, and you tell her you love her from the bottom of your heart. If you don't mean it, you just don't mean it. You wait until you mean it. Pray about it. Fast about it. So, that is one of the things that he said you must promise. Okay, that's what the Bible said. You must promise. So if you must promise that, then that's a serious commandment by God. If you have an alt with your brothers or your sister, and for those who are having disagreements over money, remember money fades. Money is the root of all evils. It's not going to be there. You can't take it with you when you go to heaven or hell. Okay? You can't take it with you. It'll still be here, and people still be trying to squander it up while you're gone. So when we talk about where you are in your relationship with your family, and if you have a stronger bond with animals than you do human beings, we've got to work on that a little bit more. Okay, we're supposed to have dominion over those things. And I'm not saying that you're not supposed to love your animals, but if you feel like the only person the only people that love you is your dog or your cat, then you're missing out on the marvels of love. You take your love and you inject it into the sorrow. You see, because when you take a drop of black ink, a black paint, and you drop it in water, that whole glass is going to turn black. But if you take a drop of white paint, that black is going to turn into gray, depending on how much more white paint you turn in there, it could eventually turn back white or to a lighter shade of white. Now, why are you saying that? I'm trying to tell you the darkness cannot conceive love until that light hits it. And once that light hits it, it changes. Stir it up a little bit. That's why I said you've got to inject your love, your joy, your happiness. Sometimes people don't want to hear that. Sometimes people don't want to see that. But don't let that discourage you, because somebody, someone is listening. They may not think about it then, but when they get out of that root that they're in, the stronghold that the devil's got on, this is what I know about the devil. The devil will take your joy, okay? God would allow the devil to take your joy. Let me tell you this about Satan. I want you to understand that dialogue is there. Okay? Dialogue is there. Dialogue is there. And when I start talking about this stuff, I want you to really try to get an understanding on this, okay? And I'm not trying to scare anybody or anything that you may feel, but I want you to listen closely, okay? This is Job 1, the King James Version. It says, verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed the evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yokes of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that his men was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and fasted in their house every day this day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was also then the days of their feasts were gone about. And Job sent and sacrificed them, and raised up every morning early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of all of them. For Job said, it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continuously. Now, then there was a day. Okay, well, hold on. So let me explain this to you. They gave you an introduction to Job and what Job was about. Okay, he was perfect and standing upright unto God and fear God. He didn't care about evil, because evil could not override him. He told them how many sons and daughters he had. They explained the multitude of his wealth. They explained to him that his sons and the daughters may have done stuff that was morally not acceptable to God. So what did Job do? Job woke up early in the morning and offered sacrifice to God for all of his children, because just in case they have sinned or cursed God in their hearts. That's a father. So if you're a father, we need to say, we wake up in the morning and we need to pray for our family. Not only do we need to pray for our immediate family, but we need to pray for our brothers and sisters, for our mother, for our father. Okay? I'm trying to show you how God gives you instructions and tools in order what to do and how to do it. Now, we know that Jesus came and broke the veil, and so now we don't have to give burnt offerings, but we still can do intercessional prayer, we can still do a fasting, and we can still pray six times or more a day. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also with them. Okay, so we've already talked about these sons of God. So the sons of God are these angels, okay, or messengers, all right? So they came with Satan. They escorted Satan to the Lord. And the Lord, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord, and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and hates evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? Okay, let me give it to international version for y'all people who can't understand it, the who's and ha's and the huzza, okay? Because I can understand it, but for the common folk who can't really get that, let me break it down to you in the international version. It says, one day the angels came, this is the international version, one day the angels came to the presence themselves, present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns the devil. Doeth Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hand, so his flocks and his herds and his spread throughout the land, but now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. This is Satan saying this to God Almighty. He said, you take that protection away from Job, and I bet you he'll curse you to your face. He won't even know you, but you protecting him. Verse 12. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Huh? God said, you better not touch him. You better not touch his soul. Don't touch his soul. That's his soul is mine. You can't have it. You can do anything in your power, but you can't take his soul. Don't lay a finger on him. That's what God commanded him, and this is what Satan said. Then Satan went out from God's presence. Oh, let me tell you, the devil gets twisted. Job 2. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on the earth like him. He's blameless and upright, and a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity. Though you insist to me against, he is to ruin him without any reason. Skin for skin, Satan said. Skin for skin, Satan said. A man will give all he has of his own life, but now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. Devil trying to get God to do everything he can possibly do to break his servant Job down. Come on, Job. Verse 7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with a painful scar, painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scratched himself with it and said, and as he sat along the ashes, his wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Should we accept good from God and not the terrible? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Listen, I'm going to let you read the rest of Job, because it gets worse for the man. It gets worse. It gets worse, ladies and gentlemen. So let me explain to you about what I've always talked about. This is why I bring the Bible as my backup, as my weapon, as my two-edged sword. I got a shield and I got a sword, and I'm bringing it. I'm bringing that word in there. Boom! I got to bring it to you on the fleshly level, then I bring it spiritual. So we know now that Satan went up. I mean, and some of you Bible scholars, well, that's nothing new. What about for those who don't know? Now, Satan went to heaven with his groupies, with his homies, escorted by other angels, and presented himself in front of God and said to him, you talk a good game, God, but the only reason why you mention him is because you protected him. Take his money away. You heard that before. Take his job away, God. The recession, remember, people losing their jobs. Take their money away, God. Instead of shopping in the mall, you're shopping at the thrift store now. Take their car away from them, God. Instead of riding an Escalade, it's been repossessed. The only thing you got now is a bike. Or you taking a taxi. You got five kids. You ain't got a job. You don't have no money. You have no vehicle. Take it away from him. Take that head. Matter of fact, God, the only reason why he's not cursing you to your face is because you made him feel so comfortable in his life. Take his house away from him, God. Matter of fact, how about this? How about you take his children, God? I bet you he'll curse your face. Read Job. You read the book of Job, and you understand what I'm talking about. Then he went back to Jesus. He said, the only reason why he still got his integrity is because you didn't touch his flesh. Did you hear what I'm saying? You didn't touch his flesh. See, Satan is telling you something. He says that all the riches that he possessed made him feel like he was somebody. He had how many children he had? I don't want to get that wrong. He had 10 children. All right. He had 10 children, and he said, take everything from them, Jesus. See, if we look at our situation right now, you don't have a job. your welfare. You can barely buy your kids something, and you're spending all your money for Christmas and Easter, and you're losing your house. You're losing your car, and you feel depressed because you're not a person. I've been there. I know what it feels like. But I tell you, people, hold on. What the book of John said? John said, you got to have faith of a mustard seed. We talked about faith at the beginning. For it is the substance that we do not see, but yet we hope for. God had faith in Job. So the devil said, okay, take all his materialistic things. God said, okay, just don't touch him. Don't touch him. Don't take his soul. He's mine. Right? So the devil did whatever he did to Job, took everything from him. What did his wife say when he when Satan went back up to heaven and say, the only reason why he's doing that now is because it's still got integrity is because you didn't touch his flesh. So what God said, do anything you want to him, but you can't take his soul. Okay. Satan put boils, put sores from the top of his head to the bottom of the feet. The man had leprosy. He could not even move. He had to cut himself for relief because it hurt so much. But his wife told him, won't you curse God already and die? Wait. Not my beautiful wife. Not my lovely, beautiful wife. Tell me to curse God and die. I'm supposed to love this woman from thick and thin because I'm supposed to respect her because we're under God. But when things like that, you cannot put your wife above God because God is the supreme being. He rebuked his wife and moved on. He continued to endure the hardship, people. It may seem like a long road, but when you want to see a man of God of conviction and strength, I want you to read Job. Okay? Because when I started reading the Bible, Job was the first book that I could understand in the Bible. Because what I was going through a Job moment. I could relate to Job. You see, the devil wants to manipulate the situation. And even when you don't want to think that the devil's manipulating the situation, and you say, oh, well, the devil's in the house or the devil's making, you best believe if your spirit is not on one accord with God, he will jump in just as soon as, and even if you're praying, he'll get you before you pray. He gets you while you're praying. But you've got to keep steadfast. You've got to continue to go. We've got to learn as a unit. You need to pray as a family. You need to do Bible study as a family. You need to eat as a family. You need to show your children how to do finances as a family. You got to teach your kids how to be strong through situations as a family. And I'm not just talking about if they're having problems. Sit down and talk to your kids. Sometimes, I'm telling you what, I love my baby to death, but she talks forever. But there's something I got to have. I got to have patience and understanding because God said we have to be as children. Jesus loves the children. He loves them. He loves the children because of the innocence, yet they do not know the world yet. So what I'm saying is we must protect what is ours from the physical realm and from the physical realm. If you like to call in, please call in at 347-989-1014. I tell you, it is it is very difficult in this day and age to really get an understanding on what's going on in people's houses. If you was abused by somebody in your family, that's a touchy subject. But we still must forgive them because they have to answer that sin to God. Now, we cannot judge the person. Even though we may be mad at them, we still have to stand fast and be strong in the Lord. And it's difficult. It's very difficult. But like I said, we have to make the choices that are right according to God. And if we put our flesh in it, then our flesh will win. But what I want you to understand is I don't, for example, I do not believe in a death penalty. The reason why I don't believe in a death penalty is because we are not the judge and the jury. Do I believe that a man should sit on death row for the rest of his life? No, I do not. There are other ways in dealing with this situation. We can make him enroll into different type of servers, so things. I mean, there's lots of different organizations or something that could make him be in a rehabilitative state and let him suffer for what he's done. But hopefully in that time he does find Jesus. And if he does find Jesus, who are we to execute him? We're not the judge and jury. Okay, because we've known a lot of people in the government that's done stuff like that, and they're still alive. They don't go to jail. They're missing out on their families. And I said this last night towards the end of the broadcast. If you have family that's in prison, family members that are in prison, and you ain't seen them in a long time, or if you know that a son or daughter who hadn't seen their father, and they're ready to go see their father in prison, you need to find a way to get them there. Yes, he messed up in society. But just like we mess up, we get second chances. If they mess up, they probably done something really bad. But I believe, just like the prodigal son said, we still must receive them because they was lost, but now they are found. They were dead, and now they are alive. So once they found that reconnection with God, they have been forgiven by the Heavenly Father. Okay? So once they've been forgiven by the Heavenly Father, who are we to be the judge and jury? If you get a chance, visit an old folks' home or elderly home or retirement home, whatever the word is these days, a retirement home. Please revisit. If you don't even have anybody that is there, just simply stop by and just shake their hands and talk to them. See, that's what we're missing. We're missing the knowledge and the wisdom that is passed down from generation to generation. Because tribal people or peoples of clans did not have written text. They only had stories. That's why the storyteller was such an important part of the community. And guess who's the first one to die? They were. Because they carried the traditions. They carried the legacies to pass down from generation to generation. And so what happens now? We've got young kids who disrespect their parents. They won't respect their grandparents, so they don't even have time to even listen to what their grandparents have to say. So where are they getting their storytelling from? From school? From the news? From PBS? from rap, country music, alternative music, jazz? Where is the substance? Walt Disney? Where is the substance of the heritage of storytelling? Because the Bible is about storytelling, people. It went through generations and generations, the generation of the Hebrews. We are not chosen. If you are Jewish, then you are of the chosen faith, I mean the chosen lineage. But us as Gentiles have received the kingdom as well because of Jesus, who died on the cross. So we need to embrace our kids and sit down and tell them stories from our age. We may not have good stories, but tell them the difference between an 8-track player and a cassette player. Tell them the difference between a cell phone and a car phone. Tell them the difference between a record player and a CD player. Tell them the difference between an AF radio station and satellite radio. Take them to their grandfather's house or their grandmother's house and just sit on the porch to them and tell them a story when they were kids about whatever they did when they were growing up. It don't have to be nothing deep. It could just be a story of them running through the sugarcane fields or running through the cornfields or growing up on a farm, because I know for a fact people don't even want to go to a farm nowadays because farms stink. But yet still they want a hamburger. Well, that's not real hamburger. But they want to go in the grocery store and be mad if they're out of milk, be mad if they're out of potatoes and bananas because it ain't in season. How about they go pick their own bananas? See how hard it is to pick bananas. Matter of fact, why don't you go pick some strawberries? Go pick some strawberries. Picking strawberries is not an easy job, but they taste delicious. These are the jewels that our society is missing. There used to be writers who would get in their cars and they would go up and down and around the United States and just write folk tales of different things. Like there was this lady, I think it was like Zelda Zunda or something like that. She didn't like the fact that to be called black, Negro, or anything, because she wanted to be white. But she went and wrote up through the South, and she went over and she wrote down folk tales. She wrote down all the many African hymns or songs or African things, as many as she could find. You best believe I'm gonna start doing that, because I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is. I'm gonna go buy me a tape recorder, and I'm gonna start going up to old folk and just spend some time with them and record them. Ask them, can I do it? And then I'm gonna go ahead and journal it. I'm gonna archive it. Let me tell you this. I was on the internet one day, and I was looking at an educational program, and it was a lady. She was a part of the Wichita tribe. She was the oldest living woman from the Wichita tribe that spoke the original dialect. When she died, that dialect of that ancient tribe disappeared forever. Forever. So we must cherish our cultures, we must cherish our individuality, we must cherish our elders, we must cherish our children, because we as adults are in a suspended state. We're enjoying the middle part of our lives, but what happens when we start getting older? The body starts breaking down. We can barely be mobile. We try to be as active as possible. Sometimes the body gives up on us. And then you find out who really loves you or not. Because maybe your friends don't come around like they're supposed to. Maybe your brothers and your sisters don't come around like they're supposed to. Maybe your children stop coming around like they're supposed to. Now, I'm not saying that they don't love you, because I'm sure that they do. But it's that quality time that we must, and we need that quantity and that quality, and endorse that. Because the love that we have from the oldest person in our tribe to the youngest person in our tribe is important. Without the elders, we do not know our history. Without the children, there's no next generation. And who knew that better than the indigenous people and the enslaved Africans of America? I want you to do this for me, if you're a listener. I want you, if you have any black friends, if you got any black friends and you happen to be Caucasian, I want you to go up to a middle-aged person, like maybe my age, I'm 35. Somebody that's 35 and below, maybe between the age of 25 to 35, in that range, and ask them, do they know a Negro spiritual? And I'm not talking about Swing Low. I'm not talking about Amazing Grace and Swing Low and all that stuff. I'm talking about other Negro spirituals that the slaves sung while they were in the fields. And they're going to say, man, I ain't got time for that. Why don't you have time for that? We don't know our history to begin with, but to lose it is even worse. The sweat and the blood and the bodies of these people that endured slavery for us, our forefathers who did that for us, we're going to forget? You're saying that the words that they spoke and put down on paper and sang that gave them empowerment, that gave them joy and peace in their plight is not important? But I bet you'll start singing some Rihanna or some Jay-Z or some Lil Wayne or some AC/DC or some Ozzy Osbourne. We can quote Aristotle all day. We can quote Martin Luther King all day. Our ancestors are important. Very important, because we've already been cut off from our real ancestors. So this is what I'm saying. The nucleus of our family needs to be repaired. There are some families that are broken up. There's some families that are in single family homes. But nevertheless, it's a family. And if you only have one child, all you have is a child and you. You need to make that bond so strong that nothing can sever that tie. And remember, time heals all wounds. I say this. Me and my sister have a father and the same mother. My older three brothers have the same mother, but they have a different father. My father had three other wives. One died, didn't have any children with. Then he got married to his second wife and had two girls. And then he got a divorce from her and married another woman and has had a boy and a girl. And then he married my mother, and then it's me and my sister. So it's a total of 2, 4, 6. I have a total of 9 siblings. And the way that I look at it is there's 9 of us, and we barely speak to each other. Now, whether we're busy or not, everybody's got their own characteristics and all that stuff. I've always been the person to be the peacemaker. I've always wanted everybody to be together, and then I got into a, a, a stage in myself where the Satan wanted me to be like, you know what, forget it, give up. But if I give up, then who was going to step up and take the reins? The only request my mother had asked me was to never give up on my family and to always take care of my sister. See, those who know my mother know the woman was a single parent when she got a divorce from me. I was about 5 when my mom and dad got a divorce. And I remember them getting a divorce. And my mom would work. And I'm sure there's other stories like that, but that's why I wanted you to call in and tell me. But I'm going to tell you my story. My mother would walk to work at least 20 miles or more to work. She would leave early in the morning before we went to school, and then she would come late back about midnight back home. See, my brothers, my 3 older brothers are 10 years, the youngest one is 8 years older than I am. So me and my sister grew up in a house. Me and my sister grew up by ourselves. And most people say, well, you know, that's neglect. No, back then, that's how people made it. But society dictates what's good and what's not good. I remember when I was a kid, I had to be at least first grade, and I had to stay home with my sister by myself. And my mom bought a 1 can of noodle soup, chicken noodle soup, and all I remember that the noodle soup tastes like soap because I didn't wash out the pot good enough and it still had soap in it. But you guess what? Me and my sister ate it. And the reason why my mom left me home with my sister is because she had chicken pox. So she figured if I stayed home with my sister, I would get chicken pox. That way I won't have to worry about catching it later, that I would already have it. See, those are kind of things that I cherish my mother for. Am I upset with my mother because my mother was never around? No. She gave me the love, the direction, the understanding, the wisdom that I needed in order for that time and day. Do I expect my wife to be like my mother? Not even. She's her own person, her own creature. Do I treasure the values and the ability my mother had? Yes. Would I like to install those qualities in my daughters? Yes. My mother does not like talking about her childhood. Whether her childhood was good or bad, I would not know. But I would tell you this, she does not want to talk about it. So it leaves me a little hurting to know about my family. But that is the decision that she made. The only thing that I can do is to let my children know that my mother is a wonderful woman, and their grandmother is a wonderful woman, and their grandfather was a wonderful man, even though he had a lot of shortcomings. Because when my children have children, I want them to say the same thing about me. Time heals all wounds. We get older, we get wiser, we ask for understanding. We must pray to God to give us wisdom, okay? And just like we talked about in Luke 15:11 through 32 about the prodigal son, the lost son who came back. Just like we talked about Job, when Job would wake up early in the morning and he would offer burnt offerings to God because his sons may have sinned in their hearts or in their mind and they did not go to God about it. What does your family look like? Your family may not be great. Your family may be poor. Oh my goodness! If you hang on 1 minute, let me. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me that. I've got something for you, ladies and gentlemen. That is uh, very profound. He is a poet, and his name is Michael Booker, and you can look him up on YouTube. You can look him up on YouTube, but I'm going to try to upload it and play it for you right now. I've got a couple of minutes, so please bear with me. But I'm going to continue to talk, but I'm also I'm going to upload it for you so you can get the full audio on it. And it's very profound on what he said because, man, I tell you, he illustrates how it is living in his plight. But still there was humility there because something that his grandmother had taught him. And so because that his grandmother taught him that, it made him think. And so not only did it propel him to his ability to do poetry, but it propelled him to influence other people to think about others' plight. You're not alone in this. There's many people that are homeless. There are many people who are going through the things that you're going through. But you got to know that everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a purpose. And so when it happens, you have to thank God in the good times and in the bad times because he is always with you. Always. So give me a second, and I'm about to play it. Here we go.
Give me one just for you. Welcome to Mike Booker.
I haven't even begun to spill my life stories onto these pages. Some people saying they know how hard it must have been, and I'm asking myself how. Because you heard a couple of my poems, we learned the time the gunshots, they happen so much. 7:45, 9:17, 11:23, 1:36 in the morning, nigga, every night, ducking below window sills. My grandmother used to tell me, be grateful for what you got. Some people got it rougher than you, and I couldn't see how when the lights and heat didn't work, had to walk to the dinner table with a candle and two blankets on just to keep warm. We ate peanut butter sometimes so we won't go to bed hungry. I lived between danger and a stop sign. Learned the streets backwards, I was outside so much. Better yet, learned the streets better than the back of my hand. Better yet, learned the streets better than the back of my father's head because that's all I ever saw. Once, when I was 15, I went with Chris to go shoot at some niggas over his baby moms, and a gunshot missed my chest by 6 inches while I listened to the stories that rotated around the neighborhood blocks like squad cars. Lit Jerry, his three brothers, four younger sisters, had to sleep on cardboard boxes in the garage at the end of my alley because his mother did drugs too bad. Miss Adams down the street had 6 sons. All of them sold drugs. Neither one of them ever saw age 19. The youngest killed a week before his 19th birthday. And you wonder why it's a curse to be stuck here forever? School never meant nothing to me because everybody from Kidney to Cicero was on welfare. The property tax was so low. Teachers, fresh from college, would come work at my school for 2 months so they could get a job somewhere in the suburbs. So they could put on their resume, I worked in the inner city like they was in the trenches of war. And you think we didn't know what was happening when we had 4 different fifth grade teachers analyze my life and tell me how many opportunities I've had to break down stereotypes. The first thing I learned how to count was drug money. My hood is full of kings and queens who evolved into peasants over the time span of 500 years. My ancestry was ripped away from me, replaced with guns and drugs, thugs and crackheads, misdemeanors, felonies, and jail bars. But my grandmother used to tell me, you got a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food in your stomach. Be grateful for what you got. Some people got it rougher than you.
Do it up with Mike Booker, y'all.
And when I heard that, it brought some emotional memories back. Okay. Because I didn't have it as bad as him. I don't know what it is to be a gangster. I wasn't around that kind of stuff. My mama told me, she said, the reason why y'all didn't have food is because y'all chose phones and TVs over food. Now, I tell my mama now, we joke around about it. I was like, mama, I ain't never chose no phone or TV over no food. But La La, was it La 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 Lay? You got something to say? Hello, welcome. You got something to say? If you'd like to call in or say something, this is the time. We got 27 minutes. If you'd like to call in and give a story or say something about your family, please call in at 347-989-1014. And I've never known my mother to be a liar. And that's another thing, man. Just another thing. My mama, I've never seen my mother cry or be upset over not being able to pay the bills. Now, I've seen her cry over movies and Lion King and stuff like that. Speaking of that, man, let me tell you how much I love my mama. My mama will talk your ear off during a movie. We were watching Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And my mother and my Aunt Gladys are sitting there talking through the whole movie. Now, it's funny to me because it's, you know, the things that they're saying, because they so Creole, they speak Creole French, so the things that they're saying are so Frenchy. And there was the one part when the orangutan was doing sign language, and then my mother replied, "Ooh, Big Red, so smart." Look, he's doing that language. He's doing that language. Oh, man, I'm telling you what, I have never forgotten that. And those are the memories that you can always have and cherish when they're gone. You know, you may have some painful memories, but loving your family is very important. You need to take, look at Big Red, he's so smart. Oh, my God, I can take that to my grave and know that I enjoyed that moment, even though they talked through the whole movie. That's my mother. So my father, like I told the story about my father, he dropped out in third grade. He didn't know how to read or write. But he had the biggest smile and the biggest heart I ever known. And that's why, I think that's the reason why I am the way I am now. I love to give. My wife has to tell me, hey, stop giving away all our money. Shoes, we broke. But that is the charity that God has put in my heart. I would rather give to people who don't have it than for me to suffer, because I'm giving because, like Ephesians 6 says, you have to be give because you want to give, not because man sees you give. Okay? You got to understand that. Don't please man. Please God. And for those who don't know me, they only know what they see and what they hear. And so, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and try to justify, because I don't need to justify nothing to nobody. I tell you what I got to say. If you don't like it, don't receive it, I move on. Because I know who is my Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thou name. Thou kingdom come. Thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because God is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You must remember that. That's how he taught us to pray. If you don't have nothing to say at all, remember the Lord, our Father prayer. It'll get you through. Because if Satan and his dominions and his homeboys can roll up in heaven and talk to God, you don't think that our prayers that are sent up, that he don't hear you? You best believe he does. I have some very, very intelligent, smart listeners. And I'm not talking about the PhDs. I'm not talking about the doctrines. I'm talking about people who understand people. People who love being human. People who love doing the things that they need to do in life. My listeners are important to me. This is why I do this show every night. Because I want them to understand the trials and tribulation of this flesh is only temporary. You will not be in this flesh forever. It may seem like it's such a long time, but in God's years, that's nothing. That's nothing. So do you think that when God made the world, that it was really in 6 human days? Do you really think that? Well, I mean, you got to go and you got to study your word. You got to have you have to have your survival kit. You got to have your survival kit. How do you handle your sin is one, and how do you study your Bible? Huh? So that's your survival kit. How you handle your sin and how you study your Bible. That's the survival kit. The real deal is getting people to really understand what's going on in the world, and know that they're being betwixt, they're being pushed in ways that they shouldn't be pushed. But the reason why they are accepting it is because it's always been done that way. It's normal for them. If it's normal, okay. They say if it's not broke, then don't fix it, right? But what happens if it's broke? Let me give you a story. Let me give you a parable before I close, okay? And this is coming out of Luke 16. The New International Version. This is 16 through 31, okay? 16 through 31. It says, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than the lack of a stroke of a pen and the drop of the law. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery. The man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. There was a rich man. This is 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and in fine linens and lived in the luxury every day. At his gate lied a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat whatever fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man died also and he was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away and with Lazarus, but by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to a drop excuse me, to dip his tip of his finger into the water and cool my tongue because I have an agony in this fire. Abraham replied, son, remember that you in your lifetime you receive very good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comfortable here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you are a great chasm has been set in place. So there who was sent to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross from this to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let them warn them so they will not allow to come to this place of torturement. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. That's Luke right there. Okay, that's a parable from God, from Jesus. He was telling us this parable to his disciples. I do not know what a chasm is, and I'm about to look it up right now. Chasm. It says, let's see. It is a noun. It is a deep hole in the earth, a deep crack, a hole in the ground, wide difference in feeling, ideas, and interests. It says a gap or a break, a large gap or a break in processing or communicating with something. Okay? So there was a wide gap. There was a gorge, a breach. There was something there that prevented Nazareth, prevented Lazarus from helping that man. Now, the interesting part is this, ladies and gentlemen, is that when the rich man started to talk to the other side of this division, he was talking to Abraham. Now, most people get confused and say, well, why was he talking to Abraham? Well, Abraham was told by God at the beginning of Genesis that you will be a father of many nations. So this is Abraham. I'm sorry, I got booted out, but I'm back in. So it was Abraham that was talking to his descendant, one of his descendants, that even when he has been far dead, he was still in control of his lineage. So you remember when I talked about we must know our history? Because now Abraham was not even born when Moses was born. He wasn't even alive. But he knew Moses. He knew the prophets. How did he know that? Because he was with Jesus. He's with God. So now that we know that, we can go back and break the story down even further. Okay? Now that we know why Abraham is speaking on the behalf of Lazarus, and he asked him, he says, I beg you, Father, that's why I call him Father, because that's his grandfather, to send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let them be warned, them, so they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replies and says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. I'm not claiming that I'm a prophet. I'm not saying that I'm Moses. All I'm saying is when God is speaking, you need to listen. If you don't think I'm speaking for God, please pray, get the sermon, and ask him, Lord, is he telling you the truth? Listen, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm getting it from the Bible, okay? Then he says in verse 29, in 30, he says, no, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And then Abraham says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. So let me tell you this. For those who don't believe that spirits rise, God gave you your answer right there. If you don't believe in ghosts, that's your answer right there. Because Abraham told him, he said, even if somebody was to go up there, they wouldn't listen. So they have the ability to ascend. What they don't have the ability to do is to cross over from heaven to hell. Now, that gulf is apparently wide, so they can't do that. So there's some type of, you know how they do in the movies and stuff like that. I don't really know how to explain it. But this is a chasm, which is a division. So he said, he asked, he begged his grandfather Abraham, he said, please let me go, Lazarus go up and tell them so they can repent. And he simply said no to them. Because he had every opportunity to take care of his brethren. They were all Hebrews. One was rich, one was poor. He sat at the gates. He had balls on his head. So if we see a person who's disfigured, or we see persons who've got something on their face or their body, we want to disassociate ourselves because they are not normal, as you call them. All I'm saying is, people, we don't know who we entertain. We could entertain demons. We could entertain angels from God. Good angels, bad angels. We don't know. So remember, when you decide to make fun of somebody or giggle about somebody because they're different, you best believe that they're a child of God and God has a special place in his heart for them. Don't be a fool like the rich ruler and Lazarus. Now, this is another thing that people, you've got to understand. Why did Jesus specifically give the beggar a name? Why is his name important? I don't know, but that's something we should look at. Because God is specific. Sometimes he says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple, fine linen, and lived a very lavish life every day. And then there was a man at his gate who lied beggar. His name was Lazarus. So we know that God is able to give you what you need. Why was his name important? Something for us to think about. If you're a biblical scholar and you like to do Bible study and you like to do research, please look it up. I'll be looking it up because I'm very interested to learn out who he was. He told us exactly what he was and what he did, but why would God mention his name specifically? Because when God names names specifically, it is important that we understand that those names are significant. Now, if we look at the angels, there are only two archangels that God mentions specifically. One is Gabriel, which we know is an angel. Of course, we know angels are messengers, but we know that Gabriel is a messenger or the angel of the providence or the district of the Middle East, and we know that Michael is the archangel of Israel, because he says when Daniel was saying that, when Gabriel said, I was fighting the the prince of Persia for 21 days, and your angel came to assist me. He was talking about the Hebrew angel, which is Michael. So we are specifically given two angels. And so if he ever talks about any other angel, he just says the angels of hosts, or he'll say angels, or he'll use sons of men. And so there's a lot of different things that are used. So to wrap it all up is this. We must love our family. I'm talking about the human race. And I say this every time, and every time I could possibly say, we must love the human race, because the human race is what is on this planet. There is a such thing as all the isms out there, but the only thing that God had commanded us to do, that we need to do as brothers and sisters, is love one another. We need to love one another. Love. Love, and time heals all wounds. If somebody cusses you out, if somebody says something ugly to you, I want you to turn around and say, thank you, I love you. And see how messed up they're going to be. They will be messed up because they don't know how to receive. They want you to get angry. They want you to spit out that venom. Tell them you love them and see how messed up they'll be. I got 5 minutes left. If you'd like to call in, telephone number 347-989-1014. That's area code 347-989-1014. And like I said, I apologize. I know it says Hurricane Sandy recovery update, and a lot of you guys are out there wondering why I'm not talking about Hurricane Sandy. The person that was supposed to come in and talk update, she got sick, so we're going to reschedule it. We're talking about, this series is about family, and if you missed the beginning parts of it, please go back and listen at the beginning, because there's a lot of good stuff in there about the family. And once again, I will charge my listeners, because like I said, I have got some awesome listeners, okay? We've only been on the air for 4 weeks, and we've got almost 7,000 listens. People are tuning in. Whether they like it or they don't like it, they're still tuning in. So I just like to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart that we continue to let this thing grow, okay? And I'll close with these things. I'm coming out with a fashion show. It's going to be a BBW fashion show for all those people who love big, beautiful women. If you're going to be in Wichita Falls on April 13th at noontime, please, I ask you, as much support as possible. It's a charity event. It's going to a wonderful charity, and it's for the people of Wichita Falls to improve Wichita Falls for all the great things that they have tried to do and continue to need donations, okay? Because we're giving people, and I'm putting on a BBW charity event, a fashion show, and I'm also putting on a senior citizen fashion show. So in God's name, I've already claimed success on it, and we're going to push forward. And for those people who don't think that it's going to be successful, I'm going to continue to go forward with it because I believe in my God, because I believe in faith. I have faith in my God. I have faith like Job faith. If you got Job faith, you know what I'm talking about. If you just tuning in, we read Job, okay? We talked about faith. We talked about what your family and your family nucleus, what we're supposed to do, okay? We talked about how the devil came to and fro. But we're not going to let him get the victory tonight. And we give all praise and honor to God, whether we're in a bad situation or whether we're in a good situation. We're going to have bumps in our road. But the most important thing is to love your family. Sometimes it's hard at the moment. Step away out of the situation and come back. And then you tell yourself, you know, that was a really petty thing we got into an argument about. And if it continues to persist, stop right there and just say our Father prayer right there. If that doesn't persist, I mean, if it continues to persist, you sit down and you pray for at least 30 minutes or more. You break out in a praise dance. And you ain't got to say nothing but, Father, I love you, Father, I love you. I mean, the cherubim out there, the angels are singing, cherubim saying, holy, 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 holy. So if you say holy, 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 Lord Jesus, you're giving God the praise, because holy is the highest praise. Hallelujah is the highest praise. So say your hallelujahs. Be able to stand within the darkness. Be able to stand when nobody's there to stand. Do you know why I have Daniel in a lion's den? I want you to read Daniel. When Daniel was in a lion's den, and he did nothing wrong, but they persecuted him anyway. And when those lions ate those people, the king was glad that God had saved him. He didn't even know Jesus the way Daniel knew Jesus, but he believed in Daniel, and he believed in the God of Daniel. And so that is the power of God. He tarried night and day, and soon as the light came, he ran to the tomb and told him to open it up and make sure that Daniel was still alive. When he came out, when Daniel was still alive, he was so happy. He was so happy. You read the story for yourself. My name's George Beverly. It's a Monday night. It's 12 o'clock almost. And I'd like to thank you for tuning in with me. Tomorrow night, we're going to have something. Hopefully we keep this thing rolling, and it is what it is. And so tomorrow night, we'll be having my old debate coach, David Kay, will be discussing Lincoln-Douglas debate. That's going to be great. I'm excited. I love Lincoln-Douglas debate. He is an awesome debate coach and teacher. So the next time I hear from you, you, ladies and gentlemen, should be sounding off.